There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Or good, yeah, it's good afternoon. There you go. April Marie here, filling in for Sean, everybody's favorite substitute teacher. I hope that you guys had a wonderful Independence Day holiday and was able to get together with family and friends, maybe watch the fireworks, talk about all things going on and good around the world. I've really, in the last couple of weeks, I've done a lot of radio. And one thing has become more and more evident, which are Democrats and liberals love to make themselves miserable. It doesn't matter how great things are going. It doesn't matter what someone is doing to celebrate the goodness. They just want to bring them down. We really saw that with some of these travelers coming in. And I will give a caveat here that it wasn't just liberals who were getting annoyed by the German or the Scottish or the whatever visitors really enjoying things. Some of our favorite conservatives even were a little annoyed at that. But I loved every minute of it. And I think it's an indictment on the keyboard warriors that Freddie had to get off of X. If you were following Freddie, he had to get off X because they were threatening to dox him and really get into his personal life, things he had posted years ago, all of those things. Okay, somebody, let's see if I can get myself a little bit, my volume a little bit higher here. We'll go with that. You guys let me know as I play with my settings here a little bit. All right, those of you texting to make me a little higher, let me know if that's higher enough. April Marie here. You can find me on X at APRYLMARIE. April Marie. You can also, you've got me on the text line if you are a regular texter. I have to say I opened up the text line today and looking at some of the comments over here about Jeff's show. Sounds like he got some of y'all pretty riled up. Well, I've got a lot to talk about today. I don't know how many of y'all have seen the couple that scaled the Empire State Building. I went to show this to my children. If you aren't familiar with it, I don't know. You got to get yourself on the interwebs. A couple scaled the Empire State Building last week, and I originally was on air filling in for a different host in Birmingham. When the images started coming across my feed, I was able to find pictures of them. They had helicopters. They had two helicopters, a news helicopter and a NYPD helicopter kind of circling where they had climbed up to. Well, I went to show my kids this later that same night and was able to find where it basically OJ white Bronco style, the news crews had filmed from about the time they figured out they were up there and the police got involved all the way through when they came down and were arrested. So it was over an hour, hour and a half of live commentary about this couple who climbed up on the Empire State Building. So I originally went to show my kids the pictures and then realized there was this video. Now, again, if you haven't seen it, this is a couple that are roof walkers, which I didn't know this was a thing, who then ended up documenting their documentary style, their attempts to do this, a climb of the world's biggest building. And they did it. And then that was turned into a Netflix documentary. So the reason I bring this up, multiple reasons. One is I watched the video, which was really entertaining in a time where news is so negative. It was kind of hysterical to watch these pundits and police, law enforcement experts, a retired police officer, talk in real time about what's happening. The couple doesn't, short of trespassing and putting their own lives at risk, they don't commit crimes. They're not out there, you know, with crazy political messages. This message was a Jimi Hendrix lyric on or line on a banner. But I went last night and watched their whole documentary. And wow, I had no idea that some people's idea of fun was these death-defying climbs. It's one thing, you know, to walk on buildings, thin railings above buildings, but they're out there on equipment. They're out there on scaffolding. In the one that they've got the Netflix documentary on, they were the first ones to sneak up this building and get through security. I guess some people had tried prior to that. And they did basically gymnastics, like circus style, Cirque du Soleil style climb up there. It's really something to watch if you haven't seen it. Very non-political, I know, and I typically stick to the politics, but I want to say this was a whole thing. And then I looked it up last night, and there's a number of people. It looks like they were overcharged in New York City, where you can get away and walk out with, you know, carjackings and assaults and murder. No, this young couple, which got engaged on the way down from their climb, they were slapped with 8 different charges, spent the night in jail. I think it was really just New York Police Department being embarrassed that they were able to do what they were and climb up there. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't watched them, check them out. It's the couple that scaled the Empire State Building. It was unreal to me. All right. Today on the political front, not quite as quiet as we've seen in recent weeks. The Charlie Kirk trial has started today with a hearing today. I was looking at just before I came on, there are images of Charlie Kirk's parents arriving at the courthouse and Erica Kirk arriving at the courthouse. You know, every trial like this is going to be incredibly difficult. And then to know that you're going to have absolute monsters, Candace Owens and crew, picking apart everything, you having to deal with the online trolls and all that stuff. I just want to encourage everybody to pray for Erica Kirk, for her children, for Charlie's families, for Charlie's friends and loved ones. I'm glad that the public is able to follow that trial. I feel like there's been so much misinformation put out there since his death. So many wild goose chases by people who want to call themselves detectives and want to figure out things that law enforcement already figured out. So we're going to see a lot of that this week, this Charlie Kirk trial and the hearings. When we come back from our first break, I'm going to get into some of the 1819 news stories. I know Jeff Porter has probably done some of that today, but I've got a couple stories up, including an interview I did with Speaker Ledbetter. Want to talk about that and go over that, some of the changes that are coming here in Alabama, and then go over some education things. You guys know how much I love education, and that is, in fact, my beat over at 1819 News. So you guys hold tight. I'll be back with those things in just a minute.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. April Marie here, filling in for Sean. Gave myself a little bit of a heart attack there, but it was user error on my part. I think we've got the volume turned up and all sorts of fun stuff. One of B Dark says the Empire State thing was a Democrat's photo shoot. The communist mayor will let it ride. Want to bet? You know, here's the thing about that. I really do think that part of the reason they got so many charges is that they embarrassed the mayor and embarrassed the police department. It turns out from initial reports that they may have even slept there. They had to do that with the Netflix special where they got into the building and then they essentially got trapped there by the combination of construction workers and security. They did this whole, like I said, the whole documentary, which I probably would not have watched if not for my kids wanting to see it. It was fascinating because it talks about how the two that end up getting engaged on the Empire State Building, how they met, how they started training with one another. And, you know, this is daredevil-ish stuff. The girl comes from a family that literally did circus acts. And so she does a lot of climbing. And it's interesting the personality dynamics between the two of them, because she tends to really, you know, put herself in some really sketchy situations. As a matter of fact, on the Empire State Building, while we were watching like the hour of news, this is after the fact because I was on air when they actually did it, but while we were watching the news reels, as they were coming down, she got herself in a situation where she couldn't figure out, because they do this without harnesses or anything, she got herself in a situation where she got stuck and he had to climb back up and kind of walk her through. They did mention that a number of their friends have died doing this. So, of course, I could kind of go down a rabbit hole trying to figure out, you know, how many. And it seems like there's been dozens of people who have done this. You couldn't pay me. Literally, my kids were like, would you do it for $1 million? And I'm like, no, because I wouldn't be able to enjoy the $1 million. I'd die. I'd get halfway up there. I'd look down and I'd die. Some friends of mine, I'm from a pretty small town. Some friends of mine used to go up and climb the water tower back when we were young. Small town nonsense, I'm sure. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't even get to the first of the maintenance, you know, levels because not that I'm necessarily afraid of heights. If I'm at heights, you know, I always go to stay at the top as to the top level of whatever hotel I'm in. I ask for the top levels and I don't mind myself a good rooftop view, but there's no way you can convince me that climbing without a harness, you know, thousands of feet in the air, that's a like sane thing to do. That's going to be a hard pass for me. So I don't know if the charges will be dropped, but I think it's fun that it's a nonpartisan, there's a nonpartisan effort to say, you know, of all the things going on in New York City, this is probably the least offensive. What's funny is when they did their first one, they timed it around the World Cup because they knew in Europe that the security guards would be watching the World Cup as opposed to be watching their monitors. And sure enough, they were absolutely right. They were able to get up into that building because everybody was watching their TV. I feel like Alabama, you know, that would the equivalent of that would be going and doing something during the Iron Bowl when everything's nice and quiet. I figured out within my first few years here that going to a grocery store or run errands would be a good time to do that during some of these football games. All right, Squirrel Vereen on the line. He says, it's too bad that the message that society, conservatives, and decent people should get about Charlie Kirk's murder is being overshadowed by the attention-begging conspiracy theorist and infighting. Either way, it should be noted that no retaliatory acts against left-wing nutjob crazies occurred. I was happy to see a guy at Publix with a Turning Point USA Freedom shirt. Yeah, I wear my shirt more and more often because I really do believe we've gotten into a point early after Charlie Kirk's murder where people really showing who they were in terms of the disgusting things. I had friends who were online, and I mean like friends, people I have had meals with, people I've broken bread with, people I have communicated with and, you know, done all sorts of things with, who I wouldn't say they were celebratory about Charlie Kirk's death, but they certainly were doing the whataboutisms, right? Well, what about this thing he said, or what about that thing? Or, you know, are we going to really mourn this as a nation? And is the president of the United States, should he be mourning it? And should J.D. Vance be flying? Like, what in the world is wrong with you? Charlie Kirk's death, I think, should have been a bigger opportunity for us to talk about the ideals and the values that he had, especially when it came to, his faith and his family and putting those things first and having open dialogue. Instead, what happened was almost immediately the leftists and their mild messages took center stage. And we had that right here in Alabama. We had both K-12 teachers and we had people in higher ed. I didn't see any nurses. I could be wrong. But across the country, we did see people in the healthcare profession saying vile things about his death, if not celebrating it. This is one of those where I'm going to be really interested to see what Alabama universities do about those that were terminated for saying vile things. There have been colleges that have done out-of-court settlements where these teachers have gotten tons of money. I think this should be a line in the sand. Yes, you have a First Amendment right to say vile things. If I, you know, wanted to say something completely horrific, and not, by the way, leftist, oh, that's mean, that's racist, horrific, but actually truly celebrating someone's death, or you know, the flip side, cheering on terrorists or whatever it is the leftists do, there has to be lines. Yes, you can be a teacher and have vile opinions. And yes, if you say those opinions out loud in a way that's going to reflect poorly on your school, reflect poorly on its administration, reflect poorly or put into question your ability to be an impartial or indifferent teacher, that should be fair game for them not having you back in the classroom. I assure you, some of the things we saw people posting after Charlie Kirk's death, I wouldn't want those individuals in the classroom. Do you guys remember the woman at the rally? The video went viral of her making the gesture as if of Charlie Kirk getting killed. Do you think that woman can show up in a classroom of 20 kids and be a good influence in their lives? Do you think she could? She is treating the students of conservative parents the same as she's treating other kids? Absolutely not. And when these teachers show us their bias, we need to point it out. There was a story I was talking about getting into. I was getting into a post about my work on 1819 News. I've got another one coming. You guys keep an eye out for this afternoon or in the morning. About hires over at the University of Alabama. The University of Alabama says they're going to get rid of their DEI, they're going to get rid of the CRT, they're going to follow Alabama's divisive concepts laws. But then they have gone recently and put into place individuals who, one particular individual that I wrote about over at 1819, Andre Denham, he had made for years, had made it a point to do everything he can to push DEI. He was the president of the Black Faculty Association. And in that, he was really, there's participating in, if not promoting, you know, a die-in, a teacher teach-in, and all of these things. For a man who wrote that the flag of the United States is racist, who wrote that when they see cops, they think them as racist. That's me paraphrasing. But you guys go to 1819 News and you can see that story. I'll actually repost it on my X. We have got to hold the administrators of our schools, K-12, all the way through college. We have to hold them to a higher standard, because when they're in these classrooms, whether we like it or not, it's kind of the way colleges are, is there is an inherent level of respect that comes for these teachers. I tell parents all the time, you walk into a classroom and the teacher who shows up has crazy colored hair. Maybe it's a man dressed as a woman, someone with multiple nose rings, you know, the kind through the nose, like a little bull has, whether they're dressed, they've got an LGBTQ flag, turn around and walk out. We have long since let being air quote polite, mess with our reason, mess with our natural instincts to protect our kids. You know that that teacher is letting their politics, letting their ideology, whether it be on the DEI side or whether it's on the LGBTQ side, we know that, that they're letting that spill into the classroom. There's no way in the world it is not. People go, oh, what about conservative teachers in the classroom? Yeah, conservative teachers in the classroom are going to teach your kids to love God and country and respect you as a parent. Not the same. All right, when we come back, I'll look back at that text line again. You guys hold tight. It's April Marie filling in for Sean on Midday Movie.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good afternoon. April Marie here. All right, going to the text line. By the way, good to see you again, Squirrel Farine. It's so funny. Somebody says, okay, I heard one report that the couple is already married. I did a quick search for that while I was we were on a break. I don't see that report. I think it could be. I mean, they're clearly entertainers. These are people that figured out how to turn a hobby into a business, the documentary kind of follows them through their early days of climbing and their first sponsorship, which their first sponsorship together looked like it totaled about $550-$560. Not quite what you would think somebody would get paid for risking their life. They were wearing they used to get sponsored by a bunch of travel companies and they would just go all over the world. Of course, now with the Netflix documentary and then all the national attention, I've seen reports that they are making upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars for some of their videos of some of their hardest climbs. And yes, to CB Carl, I do understand that this one comment was, how would you feel if your family got to see those law-breaking fools fall to their deaths? No, I knew they survived the climb when I was watching it later because I'd watched them get arrested and, you know, be on the ground, and I still had anxiety watching them. It was kind of crazy to think about. And yes, as a first responder, I can understand that issue. Their lawyer said after they were picked up, I did pull up one of the stories here, that they were overcharged, but also that the law enforcement officer said that there was no risk or danger to any of the attendants, any of the guests on the observation desk, deck, or anyone in the building. There was concern about the cops that climbed up to get them. But unlike the individuals themselves, the law enforcement that went up to get them used traditional methods. They weren't climbing all crazy, all cat-like crazy time. So I'm going to go ahead and celebrate that as a worst things have happened. And, you know, we've gotten to the point, I understand Jeff was talking about people staying at home. We've gotten to the point where people don't go outside and play anymore. Maybe I don't want to encourage you to go climb on top of a building or break laws. The disclaimer before the Netflix documentary, it basically says that, like, this is dangerous. People have lost their lives. But we could use a little bit more adrenaline type things in our lives. I know that that you're not getting it sitting on your sofa and not doing anything. I think people being outside and taking chances and taking risk, it's a very cool thing. Okay, I'm gonna keep an eye out during this next hour and a half on what's going on with the Charlie Kirk trial. Again, there is no way to convince me that the individuals who lost their jobs, if their jobs were directly related to something forward-facing in the community, that is a First Amendment rights issue. I absolutely believe and support obviously, I'm on radio and I do print journalism. I absolutely believe in the First Amendment. But do you have a right to say something that is so vile that any student who has your class later questions your objectivity? that that you make people feel unsafe in the workplace, whether it be, you know, oh, we need more killed, more of this, more of this type of justice. No. And here's the other thing is you never see, I say never see, we do have radical right side out there, conservatives, so-called conservatives out there, but we police our own. You know, yesterday there was, on 4th of July, there was the Patriot Front group, and somebody sent in a message about that, a image posted on the 106.5 social media account. Yeah. Patriot Fund is out there. And do you know what conservatives say about that? They make fun of them. They talk about try to figure out whether it's a Fed op, whether it's SPLC funded or whatever, because this isn't mainstream conservative train of thought. This is not representative of us. The Charlottesville, which was SPLC funded, the Charlottesville protest, which we know was egged on, where people were recruited to go there, people were paid to be involved in that by SPLC. That's what the charging documents allege. We know that on the left, they've got a lot of organizing and for nefarious purposes. We on the right, when we see our crazies, we call them out. When we see the Candace Owens of the world, we call them out. The groypers, the vile things, when people say them. Now, I don't know that we need to, as a nation, and this is something that the Democrats would have us say, oh, well, Republicans need to own everything Trump has ever done or said. They need to own everything, you know, as a party. Well, look at some of these leftists. 28 members now have passed of the Democrat socialist group has now gone through the Democratic primaries. These are individuals, and you can see them in Colorado, see them in New York City. These are absolute whack jobs, a number of which aren't from this nation, don't love this nation, hate our freedoms, refuse to celebrate 4th of July. This isn't the same. We police our crazy. They elect theirs. They take theirs and they give them microphones. What it was, for a brief moment, the AOC crowds of Congress, wherever the Democrats were like, not sure. But now this is becoming a vocal part of their group. If the numbers bear out and they get 28 elected, can you imagine what that's going to look like on the mainstream media when these far leftists are out there again, talking about undermining everything that we are as a nation, our values, our constitution, our rights. I went through one of the candidates, the one who specifically was talking about 9/11 and how essentially saying that America brought 9/11 upon ourselves. These are not the kind of people that we should have walking the halls of Congress. And midterm elections, Republicans aren't expected to do well. But we really need to take a look as a nation. Even Democrats need to say, you know, it's one thing to elect people to office who can't tell you the difference between a boy or a girl. That's a certain kind of crazy right there. But now they're electing people who want to walk back our rights and freedom. Not just our rights and freedoms guaranteed to us by the Constitution, mind you, because that's the big thing is, oh, we'll just change the Constitution of the United States. No, God-given rights, God-given freedoms. That's what these idiots want to go after. This is what this yahoos want to go after. They want to come here and not assimilate, but conquer. I was looking at 1819 News earlier. Because I want to go over some of the stories I have. But Dale Strong said, you know, and if you go to our website there, Dale Strong talked about this and what's going on. And hopefully we as a nation, and it's not going to come from being a keyboard warrior. It's not going to come from, you know, keeping your small circle and only engaging when elections come along. It's going to come from day to day, kind of the same thing we see with 250, where I see around just within my own circles, people who are celebrating the greatness of our nation. We can't just wait for 4th of July. We can't just wait for Memorial Day. We can't just wait for Veterans Day. We got to do this every single day. And then we've got to beat back the leftists who would come in and change our country, who would come in and try to undermine everything that we know and we love. If you haven't read the Dale Strong piece, He was appeared on Newsmax's Conversations with Nancy Brinker to discuss Promoting American Patriotism in Our Schools Act. We really do have a problem with patriotism. And it starts with those teachers. It starts with teachers who just don't care. I was talking to lawmakers about a report we had of a teacher who took down the American flag in her Huntsville. We were never able to get pictures and confirm this. But a teacher allegedly had taken down the American flag in her classroom and put up an LGBTQ flag. And it was the second was something obscure, like a Chicago flag or something. We saw where a city has taken down the U.S. flag and put up some, not just a city, I guess multiple cities, and put up Somali flags. We got to do something in this country to get back. And I think we're going to have a good opportunity to do that come November. If you're not aware, come November on the ballot, there's going to be a constitutional amendment to the Alabama Constitution that was introduced by my friend Reed Ingram that says, because right now we already have pledge laws in this state. The problem is a lot of schools and a lot of school districts have never done anything to implement that. Might be worth asking your kids, if you've got kids or grandkids, did you say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning at school? I know I did. But I also learned my kids haven't been. Now, they have been going to a private school, but still it was shocking to me. And then you look at what they bring home for Black History Month, for Women's History Month. You look at what they're learning in their social studies classrooms, and it's not American exceptionalism. It's quite honestly the backward side of this. It's the side that says America has done everybody wrong and everything about our foundations is wrong. I'm going to get back to this topic when we come back from this break. You guys hold tight. My kids are walking in, making a big ruckus over here. I'll be back in just a minute.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Good afternoon, everyone. April Marie here, filling in for Sean on Midday Mobile. The text line is open. I warn you in advance, the kids are home. Had a texter write in and ask if we caught the yard on fire with fireworks again. No, but good memory. I was actually so worried about it. So it was for New Year's Eve. The kids and their father went to get fireworks. Literally every New Year's Eve and every 4th of July, the boys have adult supervision. Uncle, who is in fact here in town, a friend of mine I've known since I was 14 years old. I'm now 45. So he's known me my whole life, been through all the ups and downs. Obviously not my brother, but my kids call him uncle anyway. So uncle generally supervises the fireworks. Side note, I feel like every family needs that. If you've got one of those husbands and your kids are super little, go ahead and find them a friend now that if you don't have one, that's going to temper their craziest, their instincts, because without uncle, sure enough, the boys went off to get fireworks on their own for New Year's Eve. And one firework kind of a bottle rocket style thing where it was supposed to shoot up, but somehow they had put it against a rock, or they had somehow put it against something. The stories differ, and it went sideways, almost hit one of my children, and then landed in a pile of firewood. Well, then all of the kids, and they come inside and they catch it. The firewood on fire, but they had already come inside. Uncle just came up to me, by the way, as I'm talking about him. And we come inside and I get a call from the neighbor saying, I thought they were calling to complain about the fireworks in general being too loud and not necessarily great for our, our one-lane road. But no, they were calling to inform me that the that there was a fire in my front yard. This is the moment we learn that I do not handle stressful situations well. If you, just out of curiosity, if you were like, hey, she sounds like she would be great under pressure, the answer to that is no. I am not great under pressure. I folded. I flipped out. It was a whole. It was a whole thing. Very entertaining to everybody but me. But we're Again, we're going to go with a no. Hard pass on ever letting them do fireworks again. So Uncle came this year. We managed to go watch fireworks. Birmingham. They do a big Thunder on the Mountain show, and I don't know about y'all's 250. Y'all's 250 celebration, but ours here was seriously the longest fireworks display I've ever seen in my life. So that was fun. All right, let's see if I can get back to the news stories I was going to cover here. I wanted to talk a little bit about my conversation with House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter, because I really do. To me, one of the things we really need to gear up for is coming off of a Governor Kay Ivey administration and going into a Tuberville administration, and how will they be different? How will Tuberville come in and prioritize things that Ivey didn't? First off, there's no doubt in my mind we're going to see a lot more conservative, after talking to Speaker Ledbetter, we're going to see a lot more conservative legislation come through. Well, earlier I was just talking about those leftist teachers. There's been bills to ban LGBTQ flags in schools. Not because we're mean, not because we're petty, but because we need our schools to be focused on, you know, reading and writing and U.S. history that doesn't paint our founders as racist and incompetent jerks, or doesn't call into question conservative parents who are bringing up their children with a biblical worldview. No, we need actual conservative. We need run of the mill school, what you and I used to expect at school. No left wing agenda, no biased nonsense, no crazy town. So there's been a bill to get rid of those flags, to say the only flags you can have on school property is your American flag, your Alabama flag, maybe a POW flag. But otherwise, there will be no insignia from the left on here. No BLM stickers, no Antifa, no rainbow flag, none of these things. And what's inevitably going to happen, by the way, I say this, what's inevitably going to happen is first the left is going to say, we don't have those things. We're not doing those things. And then as it gets closer to the bill passing, they'll say, you're stripping us of our rights. These people need, kids need this. No kid needs to be indoctrinated by their teacher. All around the country, there have been reports of kids going to school from Christian households, and they get to school, they have one or two radical teachers, and then the next thing you know, these teachers and these administrators at the school are calling them another name, using other pronouns, they're doing things like this, completely undermining get back to the text line in just a second, completely undermining the foundation that the families have set. We have seen here in Alabama, it takes a little while for good legislation to get through. Usually it's not the first session. I did a story on Chris Pringle, state representative from y'all's area. One of the best we have in the legislature, House and Senate combined, hands down, one of my favorite lawmakers, because he does things even that aren't going to make the headlines. He does things that aren't sexy, even in political talk. You're looking at boards and commissions and what they're doing, maybe getting rid of some of the red tape on careers and jobs. He passed a bill that allowed just this past session, that allows those with appointing authority to recall. The speaker and I talked about that. And Pringle was the first to bring up the Girls Act that would save girls in sports. And it not only applied to K-12, but it also put in place limitations on people who receive safe state funding or local funding and their facilities, because you end up with people going, those rules don't apply to us. Well, his bill went even further and said, no, we're not going to do that. These bills have been passing, but they're taking years to pass. They're taking, you know, sometimes one, two, three, four. The divisive concepts bill, that took years to pass. I think during a Tommy Tuberville administration, we're going to see some of those more just absolutely needed, and needed because people are yahoos. We're going to see more of those bills pass, and I'm really looking forward to it. But what Ledbetter said that I found interesting, and within the span of 2 weeks, I interviewed five lawmakers. All of them, in one form or another, talked about workforce development, about this push to get kids into trade jobs. And it's something that we talk about from time to time. I don't know that the state has prioritized it the way that they need to, but we really have to get to that point. Now, the teachers unions and others, I found a site where they're whining about the diversion of money. Well, not everyone is going to go to a four-year college. Not everyone needs to go to a four-year college. We need electricians. We need plumbers. We need farmers. We need people who are willing and ready and able to join the workforce without years and years of training, although there are years in training in some of those workforce areas. Truckers. What happens when we remove all of the foreign truckers, as we should, off of the roads, the ones who can barely speak English? I was happy to hear Tuberville prioritizing workforce development in jobs, and that's something we've heard several times. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'll get back to the text lines when we come back for the next hour. You guys hold tight. April Marie, filling in for Sean.